there. It's Jim Harrington and...
This is Bill Knight, and we have a special guest today, too.
We do indeed.
How are you?
I'm Henry. Good. I'm good. Now, you're Bill.
He's Bill.
I had it backwards in my mind. Okay.
He's the handsome one, and I'm the lovable one.
Oh, you're both lovable. I can tell that.
You are joining us from the warm and wonderful state of Florida. Am I correct?
I am in Florida, the free state of Florida.
And I gotta feel bad for the guy, Bill, because here's what he's missing out on. As
cold
he sits
weather.
Down there in the sun, what's it, like 80 degrees where you are? He's missing out on the snow and the freezing temperatures that we have here. It's supposed to go down to 3 degrees today, where I'm at in Pennsylvania.
Don't worry about it. My lawyer can get you minus 10.
Oh, super. Well, I'll call him.
He's a very good lawyer. He'll get you less.
We can do lunch.
Or something like that. So what have you been up to lately, Henry? Because I know you stayed busy, you know.
Yeah,
people
I
get a hit, then they
go
away. But you haven't. You've been out on the road.
I did a lot on the road, but not for the last couple of years, obviously, only a few shows. But the thing is, I was one of those fools that was in it for the music. And so I never let trends or the business really get in the way of the music. And I've continued from my earlier career when I was on ABC, Dunhill, A&M, Life Song, Capitol, CBS, Sony.
You just couldn't land one. You landed 10.
I was in a lot of, I had a lot of record deals. I was on Sonnet in Europe, which is ABBA's label, and they were in Sweden and England. And so I was on, and then I opened my own Zelda Records, and on my own label, I don't even know how many. If you go to henrygross.com, you can see how many records I've put out. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know. And most of the album, almost all the albums that I do on my own label have between a minimum of 14 and as many as 26 songs on them.
Brand
new studio. And real studio recordings. I don't cut this in my house. These are real records.
You go into a studio. You don't do
this
in the bedroom.
These are real records. You know, these are not. And so I've never stopped. I got into it because I left Sha-na-na. And if it was about money, I just could have stayed there, you know, made money. But I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to. My mom was a great singer and a great musician. And my dad was a pharmacist. So, you know, you have a pharmacist and a musician, which is a match made in heaven.
It's an ideal relationship.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What more could you ask for?
And not much. So, you know, I just kept, I like to write, and I songwriting was always great fun to me. And I write all kinds of songs, whether they be funny, you know, serious to me, or, you know, just rock and roll songs, pop songs. I write Latin, some Latin music. I like every kind of, if you name the music. In fact, what I've been listening to is, this is Dennis McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry McGee played, it was one of the most in demand musicians in Los Angeles in the 70s and 80s. And he played in The Ventures for 40 years. And he played on my first album. Mm-hmm. And we rekindled our friendship shortly before he passed away. And his dad was the number, you know, it was born in the 1800s. He died at 96 years old. And he is preeminent Cajun fiddler in the world. His name is Dennis McGee, and mm-hmm. Jerry's father. And Jerry was about to do a documentary on him when he passed away. But anyway, so I listen to everything eclectic. I'll go from this to, you know, Buddy Holly, which I listen to, mm-hmm. Elvis, which I listen to morning, noon, and night still. Can't get over the camera.
You know, I listened to your top 10 hit recently because it's been a while since I heard it, because I think we've done a disservice to a lot of great artists. We don't play a lot of songs that should still be played on the radio. And
well, you know, everything's got to be positive up tempo now, you know.
So
you
there's that, and there's the research aspect. You get a consultant that comes in and goes, well, let's take this this group of records and let's research it, and they boil it down to a smaller rock, and then they come in 6 months later, let's do it again. Well, do we add these tunes back in? No. We just take these because we know these are hits.
Oh,
let's boil
gosh.
Down this rock.
I'm going to call my next CD Consult This.
I like it. But, you know,
consultants may not like it, but
yeah. I think that that song that you had a hit with, Shannon, is as good today as it was back in 1976. It is as great to listen to. I listened to it, I thought, what a well-produced song.
Well,
at all levels.
It's interesting because a lot of people love that song, and I get lots of letters, you know, positive letters, and you know, almost 200,000 people have listened to a version I did at a friend's wedding 10 years ago, and it's online, and you know, a lot of people love it. But it's amazing to me that what is it? 46. It was 1976, so it's 46 years ago. And every now, you know, on Twitter, I don't go on Twitter, but friends send me things from that. I go and get her, but friends that are on Twitter send me things, and it'll say they'll be, you know, just malevolent towards the song because they hate that it's about a dog, and they hate that it's about your mom, a mom and a dad, you know, or a dad who's gone. They don't want to go there. You know, it's got to be a certain thing. At some point, those in charge decided that to make music,
right,
you had to look like you just got out of San Quentin. And I have nothing against any of that. If people want to do the modern version of Harry Ruby's song, Lydia the Tattooed Lady, I have nothing against it. And some of them are very attractive. But that's it's almost like a uniform.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes like a uniform, and it was like the Beatle haircuts. We were wrong. The haircuts were cute, but individuality is strength. And
did you have to fight with record label people about what to record a lot? I mean, were they always trying to tell you, well, that's not really what we want to do with you?
No, not in my case, because they own my publishing. So anything I wrote there, you know, whatever I wrote, they were happy to record it, you know, because they owned it. You know, it depends on the people involved. You know, I was working with guys that were songwriters themselves. Mm-hmm. So they liked the material I was writing, Cashman and West. And
great.
I don't recall ever having a disagreement about that. And I would always try and bring in the early days, one outside song, like Meet Me on the Corner or Sweet Sassafras, that I found a guy singing it in New York, and I recorded that. I did The Driver's Engine, which was by a British group called. And so I'd always try and do one outside song. So, you know, it gives people some kind of perspective. These days I record mostly what I write or occasionally co-write with either Roger Cook or Tommy Rocco.
Henry, is it as much fun today as it was in the beginning?
It's more fun.
Is it?
There's less, because there's no, you know, there's always been a fight about your music, which is going to be the single, which is going to be this. You know, people have disagreements, and everybody sees it the way they see it. When you have your own label, you know, I don't have any budget to promote things. But there's Spotify now, and people go on YouTube, and I have a website that didn't exist. And so people that want to find me, some word gets out, not as much as I'd like, of course, but you know, when you do what you love, you got to love what you get.
That's true. It's
just
true.
Got to enjoy your life, you know, and I have a line in my song, Lucky Me, in a world of give and take, I take what's given.
In a world of give and take, I take what's given. I find the gypsy fortune teller in a rundown shack across the tracks. She says, money isn't in the cards, hard work will break your back. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that.
And that's how I feel about life. You know, the wanting more game, it doesn't work, because ultimately you lose it all in the end. You know, I think it was Woody Allen who said, in the game of life, the house always wins. So
isn't that the truth?
To me, the saddest thing in the world would be to be a billionaire that dies. I mean, if I had $1 billion, I'd never die. And that's what transhumanism is all about. They don't want to die. They got too
that's
much
true.
Money to die.
They want to hang on to it.
Die. Like too big to fail, too rich to die.
Isn't that the truth? Holy smokes. I was just reading today about Bill Gates. Now I mentioned him only because I don't know why. You mentioned transhumanism.
No, you mentioned him because I know you like to eat bugs. I can see from
I do. He's predicting more pandemics, more.
Well, he's not predicting them. They have
he's
them ready
them.
To go.
That's true.
Lucky me, I like it like that. Lucky me, I like it like that.
Music is politics today.
Well,
if they're going to ban Eric Clapton. I mean, music is politics today. Van Morrison and Eric Clapton. I mean, a man takes the vaccine, he suffers, and like Eric did. And, and if he says something, he's loathed by the media.
Yeah.
I can't put that together. I mean, these are the same people that sat in Columbia University in 1969 when I was in Sha-na-na against the people they're shilling for. I'm confused. It's the same people that they were against. And now they're for. You know, everybody, it's like there's been this ideological flip-flop that makes no sense. I mean, the people that the oligarchs controlling things, that's been going on for thousands of years. I thought the working class was the side they were on, but they weren't, because they've all gone around and destroyed their cities. And now they're all going to the same place, Asheville, North Carolina.
It's
the holy grail for everybody who destroyed their own town with insane things, and turned it into, a Needle Park. Now they want to go and to Asheville and sit in the mountains. And these same people who seem to be so concerned with virtue signaling, move to a place where they will never see a Black, a Hispanic, or a working class face ever again.
What hypocrites.
That's where they're going to go until they pass away quietly on a hilltop, get buried. Isn't that strange? Why aren't they in San Francisco with shovels? And, they made this. Why are they fleeing it?
That's true.
Why was there even the suggestion that Nancy Pelosi would move to Florida? She hated it.
I was the neighbor coming to town. $25 million she spent on a home.
I heard that's not happening. I don't know. I heard it didn't happen.
Nobody wants her there.
Well, that's up to them. But, I'm just saying it's just this very strange thing to watch from people that they fought against the Vietnam War. I think in retrospect, you have to ask if they don't, I was against it. I think most young people were. We didn't, because we were going to have to fight it. But the people that weren't against it were the people who were profiting from it. And
that's
just
true.
Like the people that are profiting from everything that's going on now. You know, they put these $1 trillion bills through, and hundreds of millions of dollars go to their friends and their families.
Did you see?
We get it. Nothing's changed.
Did you see the English have eliminated all restrictions with regards to the masks and social distancing yesterday?
But you have to be careful, because England is a different set of rules. Even that we still have maybe 3-4 years left to survive here before we're in 1939 Germany, the way things are going. England's a different set of rules, and very often how the game is played is that you tighten the noose, you loosen it a little bit, and people get comfortable again, and then you tighten it up again. So the jury is not in on what's happening.
Like, it was the old boiling the frog routine where the frog doesn't know it's being boiled.
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a game that they play very well. And it's the only saving grace is that so many of these people that are on this Davos crowd, they're very bright. They're very educated. But sometimes a street guy knows more. Mm. Most of the people that I know that were self-made in the music business were guys that didn't finish high school. And they created the whole music business, the Renaissance music business from the 50s and 60s and 70s that will live on as the business, the art.
Yeah.
And so, education and the ability to repeat what you've learned on tests doesn't seem to make for creativity particularly. It's like Paul McCartney doesn't read music. I've written lots of songs that people have liked. I don't read music, but that's not to say you can't do it. Burt Bacharach reads music, or did, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And he's incredible. He's incredible. There are a lot of people that it works all different ways. So I'm not saying it's one way or another, but the idea that you have to repeat what you've been told by an instructor, and that is education. You just have to think of Galileo sitting in prison till he died for saying that the earth revolved around the sun.
Amazing, isn't it?
And the powers that be were certain that he was a heretic.
Yes.
So what do you got going here? Who are you going to believe?
Well, I have a question for you. Where do you think this is going to end? Do you think that a lot of people
3 years and we're going to be in Germany again.
Austria is.
Some people believe Trump may come back before 2024.
I can't speak to that. You know, I mean, I really get you, that's speculation, but I can tell you that when I look at the landscape and I talk to people on both sides, because I try my best not to eliminate people that I love over this, sure. because they're going to go into the pot as well. They yep. think they're partners in this. And as George Carlin so eloquently opined on his last HBO special, It's Bad For You, it was the greatest thing when he said, it's a big club. And you ain't in it. And I know guys that are in it. I know some people that are in it. And, you know, they have, they've lied to me about their vaccine status. And they've lied to me about what their involvement is. And I know what their involvement is. If you have $150, billion dollars, you'd like to have, $500 billion for reasons inexplicable. It's really to be the king. And really,
how much do you need?
And I don't really think it's those people that have it. I think those people are enabled to be the figureheads of these things, whether they be the presidents or the presidents of these corporations, whether they be the media. In my opinion, which is right. no more valuable than any guy on the street,
right.
in my opinion, they are allowed to become wealthy as long as they commit their money whenever darker forces need it.
I think
they're just fronts for the really dark things going on behind the curtain.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Where are you now to pull back that curtain?
I think your opinion's right on right now, because that seems to be what I see out in the public now. Everyone going, oh, Democrat, Republican. The people that are quote-unquote the Trump supporters, whether they think he's going to be in again or not, that's not what it's about. It's not about being a Democrat or a Republican. It's about what we, our core values, and they want it to go back to what it was, not where we're being led. And these are the people that realize that we are being corralled.
Corralled is the word. Yeah. There's no better word. And the thing is, so you say, what can you do about it? Well, what they have in their corner is all the money, the banking system, Wall Street, the political system, the media, Hollywood. They own, you had that, the guy who had a piece of the Golden State Warriors, I believe, the billionaire, who couldn't care less about the Uyghurs being murdered and their organs being, live people having organs torn out. Yeah. He couldn't care less. And they're still playing ball, aren't they?
Yeah.
The whole league didn't go, whoa, we quit. Not another hoop will be thrown. Because in the end, it's all about bling. Whether it's the owners or the players or the fans, it's all about bling.
And where are the Olympics being played? Right now, this week.
Where's Jesse Owens when you need him?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the 1936 Olympics being replayed. And it's incredible. And, the problem is, if history proves anything, it's that your neighbors won't stand by your side. And they'll say, oh, look, he said this. They will ostracize you from the group for not conforming. Because the nature of fascism and communism they've said it on, even on, Fox News is the same as CNBC. It's just a different studio.
Studio.
Because they say this, they say basically the same things. There used to be, I remember there was a woman on Fox years ago, I accidentally saw, and she said, well, your children aren't yours, they're society's. And this is what it's all about. It's all about, that's why you have people twerking at three-year-olds. And, you know, you might, people that think it's great, don't send their kids to the schools where that's happening. They send their kids to private schools for $90,000 a year in Connecticut or Massachusetts, and wherever, and they or New York City, and they don't. You know, it's almost like if you're going to make love to a girl, before you do that, you have to register the theoretical offspring for preschool.
You just created a scam that they haven't thought of yet.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is what it's all about. You know.
But do you think that Klaus Schwab has the influence that people believe he has? Do you think he really and truly has this end game where he's going to have a limited number of people with wealth and they're going to weed out?
Do I believe that?
They're going to thin the herd?
Do I believe that?
Yeah,
I do.
I believe it only 100%.
Wow.
Because they're doing it. It's not like they're going to do it. They pulled the trigger finally. It was that Agenda 221 or whatever they call it. And Agenda 230 is worse. So they're doing it. They're doing it. Look, we're going to go play the Olympics, and they're welding people into their apartments.
I know.
Around the corner, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about anything. And the only advantage that we have is that we're old guys, and that's sad because I don't have any children.
I won't.
Eternally grateful at this moment in my life.
I won't watch a second of the Olympics. I used to watch them all the time.
Hang on one second, Remy. my troops are defending the fort.
That's okay.
Hang on, I'll be right back. Hang on.
You do your thing. This will be edited out.
All right.
Anything that you want to talk about, Bill?
No, I mean, I was just kind of sitting back and listening and letting it go. I mean, he's pretty good.
He's very articulate. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got to go to school to sit here and talk with him. Because, like I say, I'm a surface dweller guy. So, and what I think that's
remind me to take out Charles Schwab, will you please? It's Klaus Schwab. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, this show has actually got some very good stuff in it.
I could pause this, but I don't want to pause it. So
no, because then you got to start again.
Sorry, gentlemen.
Not a problem, really.
I hope you're not time restrained.
No, it sounds like one of my old radio listeners.
Anyway. A guy came up to fix something in the back. Of course, the worst timing on earth, unannounced. You know.
I had to unplug my Alexa because I renamed it computer, and then all of a sudden yesterday. He starts going, well, the computer, this, and it kept going up. I'm going, oh,
you use an Alexa?
It's
unplugged. After this conversation? Are you pulling my leg?
I don't care.
I've turned it off. You can ask him. It's turned off. We got the internet from it.
It's the same thing.
Hey, if you got one of these.
Yeah.
Connected guy. I mean,
you see, this is I think what happened is Klaus Schwab watched the Bourne Identity and Gates and those people and Fauci, and they watched the Bourne Identity. And the reason they couldn't find Jason Bourne was they could track his phone, but not him. And they said, wait a minute, we need to put those chips in. But they were always planning on doing it. Can't live forever if you're not, if you don't put a, if you're not, half AI. So
I used to, laugh and think what a magical thing a watch that you could talk into was, because Dick Tracy had one. You remember the Dick Tracy
two-way wrist radio? Yeah,
the two-way wrist radio. I thought that was
Joe Jitsu.
Exactly. and I thought, but that'll never happen. And now I have one. Yeah, now I have one.
Holy now you smoke. Can reach Prune Face anytime you want.
Now this is saying time is running out. The meeting will end in 10 minutes. Upgrade now to remove the 40-minute time.
All right. Well, you know what? I will ask this. You don't mind if we hook up and do another show with you, do you?
Not at all.
Because, I like
it. Can you edit them together?
Oh, sure. Huh? I got all the tools. Sure.
Just mail me another invite, and I'll hit it. Whenever you're done. Yeah, I'm all good. I just got this guy, but it's all good.
Well, okay, let's find something fun that we can end this thing on. I'm just trying to... I didn't really look at everything.
You are amazingly knowledgeable. I mean, you say amazing, usually you think of musicians, but you really have a feeling for a passion for politics, and not politics, but contemporary news and about the things we're talking about.
To be fair, there's truth on both sides of issues. I have to relate it to music, I have a song called I'm Not For Everyone. I may be vegan, but I love my guns.
A little bit of me goes a long, long way. I'm a real handful, most people say. I got my opinions and I make them known. If you don't want to hear them, best leave me alone. I got my own take on this life. And I couldn't care less if you think it's wrong or it's right. I'm overbearing and I talk too much. A big curmudgeon, as friendly as a crutch.
Around and Facebook comes. I'm not for everyone. And the truth is, I'm vegan for years, and I'm totally into animal rights. And on many, many issues, I mean, I'm still firmly liberal.
Sure.
On almost everything. But, you know, I, in terms of social issues, but something has changed. As I say, where the people that I was part, the group and the people that I was part of have not noticed because they are being drugged by mainstream, garbage is the only way to put it. But they're being drugged by this 24-hour news cycle that's based on getting clicks. And, you see CNN lose 90% of its audience. Why? Because, whether you like Trump, you don't like Trump, it's not the point.
It isn't Trump.
He couldn't. The fact that there was $2 gas can't be bad. There were some good things, just like this particular administration now. I don't see any good things, but there are always good things in other administrations as well. And I always can find things to like and things to support. And I understand when I see people like Jimmy Dore saying, who's extremely to the left. His answer to the problems, I think, of the country, when I listen to him and those kind of people on the extreme left, the really extreme left people, well, they all have one thing in common. They all hate Israel. And, that's okay. But I listen to them. It's interesting. They basically are saying the same things that Alex Jones has been saying for 15, 20 years that I've heard. Mm-hmm. And I find that most people I know that are on the left will not discuss opposing views. They know the answer. My daughter works in St. Vincent's Hospital, and she told me this is true. And so it's true. Whereas people that I know on the right, I read the Atlantic articles. I read Vanity Fair. I know what it is. I read that stuff. I read both sides. I'm willing to listen to James Carville. I'm willing to listen to people I'm willing to listen to Obama. I'm willing to listen to people who have another side. The people that I know on the left are not. They want to go to those cocktail parties. And as soon as they acknowledge, hey, I don't want to say this, but Alex Jones had this 90% right. And I find what bothers those people, because they're not street guys. I grew up in Brooklyn, and these guys were the elites. And the elites are put off by the theatrics of a Trump or an Alex Jones. It's theatrical. And that's what's garnered them these great audiences. And they are much more willing to accept the rational discussion of soft-speaking people, because they find that to be the way people converse. But it's not how you get an audience. There are leaders, and leaders make a big noise. But John Lennon made a big noise, but nobody disliked him because he said, I'm for revolution. If you're going to have a revolution, I'm. Then he goes in, out. So he was basically on the fence, but everyone seems to have forgotten that. If you want to go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, ain't going to make it with anyone anyhow.
Yep.
You know what I mean? What happened to those people that bought that record and that deify Lenin, who punched his old lady out? You know what I mean? So you know, and admitted it. It's always, as John Lennon said, it's always the worst people who stand in the street shouting for peace. It's always the people, you know, who want to tell you, you know, who want to tell you how you should live, but their kids don't talk to them. You know, and I'm tired of listening to those people who are making pronouncements from Bel Air on their way to their homes, you know, their homes out in Idaho or Utah or Wyoming, population 18. You know, I don't see them at those tracks cleaning up all those boxes on the railroad tracks that are being stolen. I don't see those people concerned. And I don't think when you have something that goes on, like you have a guy, the son of a president selling his art, could be $10 million a painting. We don't know, but we know where the money's coming from.
Yeah, we do.
And the money that he's getting is going right back through our tax dollars, right back to China.
And so the media completely ignores that, Henry.
They don't ignore it. They're shilling for it.
That's it.
They want it because they're getting theirs and they don't care. And look, you know, look what's happening. I was nervous to get on this thing today for fear that, you know, I didn't know if I was getting on with two Jeffrey Toobins.
Well, now you know you're not. So
I mean, you're not seeing me stand up, though.
That's right. See, how do I know?
Be honest.
You know what I mean? I mean, here, you know.
Yeah, you're seeing me from the waist up.
But I'm serious. So, you know, everybody, look, nobody's perfect. God knows I wouldn't want anybody to tell me to make all the decisions in the world. I don't want it. I'm a songwriter. But I do have this thing where I don't know anyone of my dear friends on the left, most of whom won't even speak to me, and just politely bowed out. But a couple have stayed in, and I love them for that, just because they're bigger minds than that. But everybody's so sure they're right, and these guys have children, you know, and they could be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, and they don't care about their children. They're just selfish. They don't care. They don't care enough to listen to Robert Kennedy. See what he has to say. They loved his father. They loved him. And now he's persona non grata. Yep. But of course, in Martha's Vineyard, you know, these people are cancers now. You know, so, I mean, he's a cancer there. You know, that's God knows. I mean, Larry David won't speak to him. Look, Larry David's a very funny guy. He has great insights on society. I was a big fan. I'm disappointed that he's not willing to look at the other side. He should. And then maybe we could find out that everybody's crazy, you know, and that between all the crazies, we might find a little aisle of sanity.
The waitress asks me if I'm famous. I say no, but I'm hungry. She says the eggs are cold, the toast is burnt, the bacon's mostly fat. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that. Nowhere to stay, I ring a doorbell. The landlord looks me up and down and says, the walls are thin, the rooms are cramped, there's no place to hang your hat. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that. 'Cause every day I play it straight, I never tempt the hand of fate. In a world of give and take, I take what's given. I find a gypsy fortune teller in a rundown shack across the tracks. Says money isn't in the cards, hard work will break your back. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that. Straight, I never tempt the hand of fate. In a world of give and take, I take what's given. Standing at the gates of heaven, St. Peter smiles at me and says, the food is great, the hotel's grand, your bags have been unpacked. And I say, lucky me, I like it like that. Lucky me, I like it like that.
Henry Gross, what an interesting guy, wasn't he?
He is an absolutely marvelous fellow, and it was fun having him on the show, but we didn't get it all done.
No, there's more to come, and you'll love hearing what he had to say on Monday.
Monday is going to be a great show.
Part two. Have yourself a great weekend, folks. Thank you for being a part of It's Another Day. Bye, Bill.
See you.